Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am thrilled that you've joined me today, and I have two very special guests on with me today, Barb and Rich Hecke, and some of you may have heard their names. They are also the founders of Grandparents of Homeschoolers. And so today we are going to talk about all things having to do with our own parents and grandparents of your kids. So Barb and Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I am delighted to have you on. And we actually had you both as part of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, and it was just such an amazing event. And so I'm glad to have you back on talking about being grandparents of homeschoolers. And there's so much to talk about with this topic. You know, yeah. I was talking to my mom last night, and I was telling her how much I appreciated the fact that when we started homeschooling, we never got any kind of resistance from her. My mom, in the beginning, and actually I was talking to her, but I was talking about all of our parents, my mom and my dad and my husband's mom and dad. And when we first went down this road, we had said we'd never homeschool. And then all of a sudden we go to this homeschool convention and we came back and we were so excited. And we were like, we're going to homeschool and we're going to do this forever. I mean, we were just so excited about it. And none of our parents really understood it, but none of them gave us resistance about it. They just kind of said, okay, if this is what you guys think is best. And I think part of that is we had been married quite a long time by that point. I guess, by the time Brooklyn, my oldest, was going into kindergarten, we'd been married for 15 years. And so we were well established in our adult life. Yeah. And, you know, we were in our mid 30s. And so I think they trusted us. We had proven that, okay, we could make logical and wise decisions for our family. And we had taken really good care of their grandchild so far. So they trusted us to do that. But I know that that's not the case with all parents. I'm grateful for our parents and their support, even though they didn't totally get it. But you guys have an amazing ministry, not just to grandparents, though your ministry is to grandparents, but it's also to parents who have parents who are trying to figure out what this homeschool thing is. So tell us a little bit about your family and how you got started in this ministry.
Well, we have four adult children. We homeschooled them all the way through, and they're all walking with the Lord. And that's one thing we're so grateful for. And we have been blessed so far with three grandchildren. And the only bad part about that is they don't live right near us. No. They live over 1,000 miles away. So one of the components of Grandparents of Homeschoolers is we talk about how we communicate, stay in touch with our grandchildren when they are a distance away from us, so we can still stay engaged in their lives.
Lots of long distance grandparenting out there. The ministry actually got started when we were leaders in our state organization, and we went to a different state's convention to just get ideas, and they were having a grandparent tea, and we weren't grandparents then, but we asked if we could go just to observe. And we saw the grandparents just connecting with each other. And the ones who came and just weren't really sure about this homeschooling thing were sold by the grandparents, who were so excited and they were involved in different ways. And we just saw that. And oh my goodness, that was the seed of this ministry. Yeah. And the convention thing that you talked about, how excited you were. We encourage grandparents to go to conventions, whether they're online, like the one you just had, or whether they're on site, just go to all of them. And because that's where they capture the vision and they get ideas and they get excited about what they can do.
Right. Because then they feel like they can be part of this whole homeschooling experience for their grandkids, which I think is exciting, because when you think about kids who go to traditional school, how often, you know, if parents are, if grandparents are local, how often do grandparents go to the, you know, kids' school play and their sports activities and, you know, all the things that grandparents, you know, their award ceremonies, things like that. I know my parents and my husband's parents have really worked to do that with my nieces who are in traditional school. And so it's great to be able to help them figure out how they can have, how they can play a role of encouragement without playing the role of leadership in the education of their grandkids, because obviously there's a big difference. You know, you've got, every so often, you know, we hear of those grandparents who really want to be controlling and tell their kids, this is how you should raise your kids and this is what you should do, instead of just trusting that, you know what, you did a good job raising your kids, and trust that they are doing the best job for their family as well.
Right.
So,
we've talked a lot in the movie about how education is discipleship. And I am so blessed to hear that your four adult children are walking with the Lord, because that's not always
that's
the
true.
Case. And certainly there are parents who love Jesus and they've led their children to Jesus and their children have chosen to walk away. But but I'm encouraged to know that your kids are all walking the straight and narrow path. Talk about as you were growing, as your children were growing up, as you were raising your kids, because you homeschooled all four of your kids all the way through, correct? From kindergarten through 12th grade?
Yes, we did.
So as you did that, and you guys were kind of back in maybe not so much the early pioneer days of homeschooling, but maybe kind of at the tail end of that, but back in the day where maybe it wasn't as widely accepted as it is now. Why did you homeschool, because you were running from something, because of discipleship? What was your reason behind it?
See if I can synthesize this. Because of where our oldest son fell in his age, where his birthday was, we had the opportunity basically to decide to put him in school or wait a year. And where we lived, the suburb we lived in at the time, they had just opened a brand new preschool. And they got a bunch of new teachers in there because the teachers were all excited to be in this new facility and everybody was really excited about it. And then they had an open house. So people that didn't have children in school could, you know, check it out. And so we went to this and we both left the school and we had absolutely no peace.
I was crying.
It actually was our oldest son who's now school age to the school. But because of where his birthday fell, we had a whole year to basically make a decision.
Panic.
And so we used that time to research. And my wife, you'll probably come to know, is a just researches everything. Mm-hmm. So she was discussing, lamenting about the situation with a friend of hers. And we thought of sending him to the Christian school, but it was really not possible for us to afford to do that. And so she was lamenting to her friend, well, what, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. And her friend said, well, why don't you homeschool? And Barb says, homeschool, what's that? And so she explained what it was, and we started, you know, learning about that. And at first I was a little reluctant. I said, well, all right, maybe we could try this, but, you know, we'll give it like, I don't know, 6 months or maybe at the most a year, but let's see how we do for 6 months. And I'll tell you, within probably a few weeks after starting to homeschool, we were fully convinced this was the way to go. And then it got to the point where it's like, wow, even if we had the option of sending our children to the Christian school, we would choose homeschooling even over that.
Right. If we got a free ride for all 12 years, we'd turn it down. Yeah. There's just no way.
Me too.
So, So God really did a work in us. And once we really understood what homeschooling was about and actually started getting involved in doing it ourselves, we were convinced this was the way that God wanted us to raise our children.
But what's neat now that we see at conferences is we see these young married couples coming to homeschooling conferences and registering for online conferences, and they don't have any kids yet. Yeah. They're already researching homeschooling. We waited until our son turned five and
we waited until our back was against the wall, so basically.
I love it. Just seeing the vision that they have, and they are bringing the grandparents along, and the grandparents are getting excited about it, and they're looking at all this curriculum and getting ideas, and it's really neat.
It's been a blessing.
It's such an exciting thing, because even with parenting, you know, I started reading parenting books, and I started, you know, talking to people about parenting and thinking through, okay, when we have children, how are we going to do this, 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 and this? Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I was one of those moms who thought, well, when we have kids, our kids will never throw tantrums in the grocery store. And, you know, I was the perfect parent, but it's the same with homeschooling, in that if you know that that's the direction that you want your family to go, you can certainly start preparing for it. I love hearing from moms who I have a couple of friends who listen to the podcast who don't have kids yet, and they listen to this podcast, which is primarily about homeschooling. And it's such a blessing to me, because it's so much fun to think, I love that they're preparing their hearts in order to prepare the hearts of their children for a life that is honoring to the Lord. So let's take a very quick break. We'll come right back, and I want to talk more about discipleship.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton, daughter of the host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Do you love this show? Then stop listening. That's right. Pause the show right now and go leave a review on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Let others know how much you love it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Did you do it? Great. Now back to the show.
We are back with Rich and Barb Heckey, and we were talking before the break about discipleship and about the importance of parents discipling their children. But I want to talk about grandparents, because this is your ministry. And I know you talk about how in Psalm 78, the Bible actually exhorts grandparents to disciple the hearts of their children and grandchildren. So talk about that. About how that would work. How can grandparents come alongside their grandchildren and help disciple them?
Well, since you brought that verse up, would it be all right if I read that?
Sure.
I don't have this memorized. I wasn't homeschooled. If I was, I'd probably have it memorized. But
that's something to do with the grandkids.
Yeah, but it is something. Yes, exactly. So Psalm 78, 1-8, it reminds us this. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. Mm. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
Wow. So it's kind of a worldview change, or a change in mindset, to try and get grandparents who may be solid Christians, but they have always viewed, school they view homeschooling now as education, mm-hmm. and parents view it as discipleship because that's what it is. So that's right. The vision we're trying to get grandparents to grasp is it's not a separate thing. They disciple the grandkids through everything they're doing with them. Every moment, it's 24/7. It's not 9 to 3 on weekdays. Yeah. And to be proactive as they're doing things, whether they're teaching a skill to their grandkids or whether they're going for a walk in the park, to just be always thinking in terms of look at what God made, and you know, it, just bringing discipleship into everything they do with them. Because the one thing about education is it consumes a child's life for, you know, basically from birth or at least preschool all the way through college, sometimes high right. school and college. And so if grandparents aren't involved in the education of their grandkids, they are missing so many discipleship opportunities mm-hmm. because it's just all their time.
Yeah. I love that passage. And just
yeah.
what it teaches to grandparents and exhorts them to take that role seriously, because it's, you know, they're mm-hmm. leaving a legacy for their kids and for their grandchildren and for their grandchildren's grandchildren
right.
and for generations to come. And Garrett and I were talking about this actually the other day about what kind of legacy do we want to leave for mm-hmm. our kids yep. and for our grandkids. And I think that uh-huh. as parents, we need to be intentional about that, because if we don't have a goal in mind, if we have no idea what direction we're heading, then we're going to lose our way. But mm-hmm. we have yep. to know what our goal is, and we have to know what direction we're going with our kids, because we hope that they're going to take that same direction with their kids. Where our family has been studying the book of Revelation, and oh man, you talk about a tough
Great.
Book. And yeah. it's such a powerful book. And Garrett is doing such a great job of leading us through it. And he's the first to say how intimidating it is to try to teach through a book that is so hard to grasp. But as we're thinking through that book, as we're studying it, and as we're looking at the culture around us, and we're looking at all of the things that are happening, you know, we're sitting back kind of going, well, you know, the end times, they might be here, and they may, you know, the tribulation may come in our lifetime. I don't know, may come in our girls' lifetime. We don't know. But our job is to teach our kids truth and to teach them to stand firm and put on the full armor of God.
Very good.
Because yeah. if right. we don't teach it to them, then they're not yeah. going to be very effective in teaching it to their kids. Now, they could be, of course, but it's our job to do that with them. And so I love that you're so intentional about just leaving that legacy for your kids. So I know one of the things that you talk about is how grandparents can make or break homeschooling. I have interviewed, many times actually on the podcast, and she's been part of a lot of things we've done is Karen DeBuse. And she mm-hmm. talks about how when she very first started homeschooling, her parents were adamant about her not doing it. I mean, just like almost to the point of disowning her. They, of course, now, I mean, the Lord has done a great work in their hearts, mm-hmm. but it can undo someone. I mean, just think, you know, if my parents, I want to still, as an adult, you know, I'm 45 years old and I still want to please my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And right. if I made a decision about my family that my parents were just adamantly against, it would be really hard. Yep. So can you talk to, I would love for you to talk to the two separate parties in this situation.
Yeah.
Can you
there's actually three.
Okay. So then talk to the three parties in this situation and how to deal with that.
Okay. So we've kind of talked a little bit about the first one, which is having the grandparents on board. They hear about it and they go, oh yeah, that's great. Now, maybe they homeschooled, you know, you. And so they're automatically going to be pro homeschooling. Mm-hmm. They'll be on board and they'll probably do whatever you ask them to do. And then some, you know, just to spend time with the grandkids. So that's the easy sell because they're already there. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to find that there's some that are supportive, but they're kind of a hands-off approach. They don't, you know, they say, well, you know, we raised you, you know, whatever you want to do is fine. And they're okay with it. But they're also not really engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's those that are, and I guess with that, the problem with that is there's so many opportunities where they could do something with the grandkids, and there's going to be missed opportunities if they don't get involved. And what we want to see is that middle group where it's like, yeah, what you do, whatever you want to do, that's great, but we want to see the grandparents ramp it up and actually get involved so that they can have some of the enjoyment that we've had discipling our kids, that they can share in that too, because they have so much to offer, probably way more than they realize, because they have all this life of experience that they can bring to the table. And then there's, of course, the third group is the oppositional one. And those are the ones we have to work on, because, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, you know, they may have had a really good experience in their particular growing up and their history with public school or whatever. And they think, well, it was good enough for me. So why isn't it good enough for my grandchildren? You know, and then if they know nothing about homeschooling, it's like, what are you doing with my grandchildren? Because they know nothing about it. And maybe they've heard some negative stories about it or whatever. And so there, we're not only, you know, we got a bigger education process just to them, you know, to try to explain, why are we doing this? Why is this really the best road for teaching our children? Well, this is going to be the very best education they can have.
One of the things on the pro side is we have talked to lots of grandparents who actually have moved to the city that their grandkids are in so they can help homeschool them. And we've talked to families who have moved to the city the grandparents are in so the grandparents can be involved. And so that deepening of the relationship and the discipleship opportunities are just wonderful. And it takes the stress off of parents. You're not doing it 100% yourself. You've got help and you've got support. You've got encouragement. You've got prayer, and it's just, it's a really neat thing. On the other side, we had some friends for the oppositional grandparents. We always also tell grandparents and parents that, you know, we as grandparents had a chance to raise our kids the way that we felt God was leading us to raise them. Now it's our kids' turn. It's not our decision. We're, you know, they're the directors and we're the supporters. And grandparents, you know, need to remember that. And then parents need to remember to ask them for, you know, some of the wisdom that they have from all those years of experience. But we had some friends at a church that we went to that they watched us homeschooling our kids. And they came up to us once and said, we really want to homeschool our kids. We like what we see among the homeschoolers we know. And we want to homeschool our kids, but our parents are really against it. And as it turned out, one of the parents offered them a free ride through Christian school for all, I think they had four kids, all four of their kids for 12 years if they would promise not to homeschool. And they buckled. They didn't want to have trouble with the grandparents and wanted to keep the relationship good. So they took them up on that offer. And I was just so sad because God had given them this vision and this excitement to homeschool. And then the parents just shot it down. So the grandparents are really key in how a family operates, because it can be wonderful and joyful, or it can be totally miserable, and sometimes relationships just completely broken off as well.
And I'm certain that those grandparents meant well. They wanted what was best for their grandchildren.
And that's the key to remember too in the relationship aspect, is that they're really on the same side because they both want the best for the kids, but they just have different ideas of what is best. So it's a matter of bringing them together.
Thank you for listening to part one of my conversation with Barb and Rich Heckey. We will be back on Wednesday with part two.